Good afternoon. Today is Thursday. Oof.
Yeah.
6th of September.
Thank God.
247th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, bringing God into the conversation, yeah. Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Hey, guy.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. You've been busy at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a few things going on.
Stuff we can talk about?
Sure.
Oh, good.
I'll talk about anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll see if he honors that word when we come back.
I'm Mark Piette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Piette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Piette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Bertrand de Jovenel. Quote, "A society of sheep must in time beget a government of wolves."
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So what's been keeping you hopping here the last little bit?
Well, this summer, marijuana.
More than normal, Mike?
Yeah. I think I became pretty public at the end of last season about the increase we'd seen over the last few years and just some of the overflights I've taken. It's much more than we've ever seen before. It's exploded.
Normally, if we're talking about manufacturing or a crop, that's driven by demand.
Right.
Okay. Is there that kind of increase in demand, or is this because of the price deflation that has happened over the last little bit, that those who have their debt structures or their cash flows or their lifestyles at a certain level have got to pump out that much more to hit those numbers?
Yeah, well, yeah, you pretty much said it. You know, the price deflation that we're seeing today is because of the glut on the market. And the funny thing about it is with the reduction in price locally, people are growing double what they grew before to try and keep up with that inflationary issue and the glut on the market. So that makes the glut even deeper. But then you look on a national level, you look at the product when it gets down to the consumer, because there are more hands that's passing through, more middlemen that's going through, the price is still holding pretty high at the consumer end.
Really?
Yes. Because
So it's just allowing more hands along the way
right,
to participate.
Right. Yeah, we had a the West Coast or the national federal drug guy out here earlier this year, this summer, and I posed that question to him. I said, well, you know, the price is deflated so much, you know, I think they're going to price themselves out of business, at least at some level. He said, well, he said, not really. He says at the consumer end, price is still holding fairly steady. It's dropped some, but he said it's still fairly lucrative for those last hands it passes through. So even though there is what some people consider a glut on the market, a lot of marijuana out there, and we've seen that where I've actually heard stories of people that have had pounds ready to go out and they just can't move it.
So they just, well, does the stuff age?
Yeah.
Or is it like tobacco?
You could store it if you store it properly, but, you know, if it gets any mold in it, if it gets wet at all, gets any moisture in it, you know, it'll mold up on you and then it becomes an environmental hazard also.
Because you got to burn it?
Just the mold.
Oh, the mold, is it the black nasty stuff?
Yeah, it's the mold spores. You know, we dry, you know, the samples of marijuana we take for a case, because we have to retain a sample for a court case, we dry it. We have special dryers that we dry it in the basement of the courthouse. And we have to be on the very careful of that mold developing, because it's a very harmful type of mold, and it can be deadly. So we have to be careful with that.
Specific to the marijuana in our area, or foliage?
It's a green foliage mold. I'm not sure, and I think it's pretty pretty specific to the marijuana that we're dealing with here.
Boy, I bet you that was a stiff learning curve.
Yeah. So, you know, our technicians down there will wear respirators at times, and those types of things. You have to be very careful with moisture getting in there. That's why we go through the process of drying it. We have these industrial dryers that we put it in that takes the moisture out of it so that we can store it.
I'm kind of surprised that maybe they are and I don't see them, that there aren't drying trucks and refrigerator vans and some of the things that move other perishable commodities up and down the highway, that hasn't converted over for marijuana, either for the drying or the storage or the transportation of the product.
That'd be a tough one to answer. Just how it's being moved out of county and how it's being preserved as it's being moved. I think there's many different ways that's happening, you know, private planes, enclosed compartments in vehicles. I know that there's probably rider trucks going out of here with pounds now and then. But I don't think there's anything as sophisticated as what you're talking about to preserve it in transit.
It's not that good.
Yeah. Once it's dry like that and packaged, it's pretty stable.
So is the distribution net a lot wider right now? Or is it going international? Is it going to the East Coast where before it was more localized?
Oh, yeah. You know, we've tracked, DEA has tracked, others have tracked marijuana specifically coming out of Northern California and Humboldt County, and they found it throughout the nation. Easily, and I've heard stories of it being tracked even over towards Europe and countries, you know, across the ocean type of thing. So it has a pretty long reach, the marijuana coming out of Northern California and Humboldt County specifically.
They put like a sticker on it, a brand. How do you know?
Well, I think there's ways of tracking it from the producer to the consumer that they've been able to identify. I think that's pretty close tracking, seeing who the hands that it actually goes through. And then we've also intercepted packages going out of Humboldt County here before they move that are destined for other areas.
Oh, they've already got the postmark on them.
Yeah, that type of thing. We know where they were headed. Plus reports we get back from busts that have been made, knowing that it came from here.
It's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, some of the different challenges, I guess, as we can't say eradication, because that implies success. Okay, so let's say monitoring of marijuana grows over the last decades. Different products, different strains, different hybridization methods, irrigation. Is there anything that hasn't changed?
I don't think you can say that it hasn't changed. I think it's like anything else. It's an evolution, but it continues to come back. Old practices seem to come back again and be used again. So I think there's always a change, but it always revolves around the same cycle where they'll come back to old practices anyway. For growing marijuana, you know, I guess the one of the biggest changes today is the fact that 25 years ago, when I did most of the marijuana spotting in Humboldt County, we had to really look, and we had to look beneath the canopy, you had to look underneath the trees as you're flying over. Your eye had to be much more keener then, and to see the color. Today, you don't have to worry about that. It's out in the open again, like it was in the 70s.
So brazen, or just so many of them that you have five big ones and one clears, you're making as much or if not more than what you were before.
Well, it's kind of like the one we did in Hoopah about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We pulled 26,000 plants out of this one drainage, all by the same cartel organized group, five or six different gardens, but they were all in the open, fenced in, planted in cornrows, easy to spot, no problem identifying what it was. But we're seeing a lot of that. Some people are also, growing, or I should say abusing, under the guise of Proposition 215. There's a lot of that where they'll have, 20 or 30 recommendations. We did one yesterday over in the Shively area. It had four or five recommendations, but they're all outdated. So they feel that there's the opportunity to grow large amounts of marijuana with impunity, not having to worry about anything. But the problem is those are exactly what we're looking for. Those high profitability, environmentally sensitive types of grows that have no regard for what we have here in Humboldt County. They're using our natural resources up. They're polluting our soils and our watersheds. It's not about marijuana anymore that we're looking at the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, but marijuana is the product that's being grown. And what is happening is these environmentally sensitive, high-profit grows out there are devastating the wildlife, our environment, our watershed. I was down on the Eel River over the weekend, and I used to live on the South Fork of the Eel about 7-8 years ago, and it was a dramatic decrease in the amount of water that I'm seeing. Of course, it was a little bit not as wet a year, but still, I lived down there during the lean years, and the lack of water in that tributary, in that river, it's directly reflective of the fact that this water is being stopped prior to getting down there, and it's being
shunted off.
Yeah, it's been diverted to, a marijuana plant takes a lot of water. You'd be surprised the amount of water it takes to grow one plant, and you multiply that by thousands upon thousands, and you can just get an idea how much water is being diverted off to deal with, to grow this crop.
So there aren't cisterns out there that are collecting the water and then being used. These are just dam up the creek, dam up the stream.
In some instances, yeah. Especially these what we call gorilla grows are out in the middle of nowhere. They're damming up and diverting water in record numbers as far as thousands of gallons, and they're diverting it off to water their crops.
Gorilla grow?
Yeah, we call them gorilla grows. They're the ones that there's no distinguishable trail in or out. Lots of material being taken in by backpack or just by strenuous labor. They're highly labor intensive grows to put together, but they're put in areas where it's hard to get to, and trying to discourage people from going into those areas. Like the one in Hoopah a few weeks ago, that was in tribal ceremonial lands. I mean, some sacred lands of theirs, and they're the ones that alerted us to the fact that it was there. I think we had spotted it once before, but their biologists are out there working the area, trying to decide what they can do or can't do in these areas.
The tribe's biologists?
Tribe's biologists, and they're being scared off by these people growing these marijuana grows. I mean, these are tribal lands that these people have been able to go into for centuries and or years to use, and they can't. They're being scared away from them, or told not to come in here.
Rather forcefully?
At times, yeah.
So we've heard about the various cartels, mm-hmm. the international cartels. To somebody who's outside looking in at this thing, I see the environmental, I understand it, the water, okay, I understand that. But when you start talking about those kinds of players and those kinds of folks being in our area, that brings a whole different level of seriousness and sobriety to this whole equation.
Yeah, you look at it this way. I was in a discussion with someone earlier in the year, and they brought up a good point. They said, historically, wherever there's high profit being made, mafia is involved. And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing these grows where there's large amounts of cash, like the bust in Utah a few weeks ago, where they had the hidden compartment with $500,000 in this hidden compartment. It's a lot of money. And that's one run to wherever.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, looking at some of the different elements that are out there now, when you were describing organic marijuana growing, I'm thinking, oh, great, now we have heirloom tomatoes, we have heirloom marijuana. It's interesting for me to hear your comments. Is the grow community segmenting now, where you've got the boutique who's doing it for themselves, thank you very much, and then you've got the people who are a little bit more aggressive, but they're still maybe green, environmentally conscientious, all that kind of stuff, and then you got the commercial grows, and then you got the large plantations. I mean, it's almost, well, and I guess you could have indoor small grows also, so five or six different segments, is that kind of what's going on now?
Well, you know, I mentioned to you earlier off the air, but when I was down in Garville last night and did the KMUD show, it was a call-in show, and they talked about the organic growers, the ones that are growing the marijuana without the use of insecticides and pesticides and certain fertilizers and doing it naturally. And you think about it, whatever is put into that soil is absorbed through the plant because it's a highly viscous plant, a lot of water goes through the plant, nutrients go up through the plant and into the leaf or the vegetative cycle of the plant when it's showing on the leaves, and then the flowering cycle where it's making the bud. All that stuff goes into that plant, and they're finding that those insecticides and pesticides and things introduced into the soil are contained within that marijuana. So if you talk to someone who's smoking organic marijuana, they're not ingesting all that other stuff that goes in through the plant. So these highly profitable grows, the plantations, as you called it, the ones that are
commercial.
Well, okay.
You called them.
All right, commercial.
Okay.
Commercial. Let's say commercial. Commercial operations. They're putting everything they can into these plants to get the most production, like a farmer would do, that they can get. So they're introducing the insecticides, the pesticides, the rodenticides to keep the rodents and other critters off of the plants. They're putting stuff into that plant to boost it and to make it as highly profitable as they can.
Now, is this the stuff that the Nebraska corn growers are using also, or is this something a little bit more
probably similar components. And again, the gentleman at the UC Extension could answer that better than I can, Murad Gabriel, who I've been working with. These are the things that are being introduced into that plant. And are we ingesting that also? Is the user also ingesting that? I would think so. So the marijuana that's being shipped out of here, the big commercial operations that's shipping quantities, pounds and pounds, at a time, you know, what is in that plant? Is someone actually checking? Is there quality control going on? I think not. You know, so I would be a little bit cautious if I was a consumer as to what I'm getting. If I was to be consuming marijuana in that regard, edibles would be the same way. I mean, you're still run that risk, or liquefied uses of marijuana, how if you wanted to juice it or however you wanted to use it. I mean, what kind of components?
Wait, whoa. Juicing it?
Sure.
Like carrot juice and tomato juice? They got marijuana juice?
Yeah, it would be an extract. Surely it would.
You didn't pull that one out of the air, did you?
No, you know, when you think about it, there's people that aren't able to use the smokable product. So there's all kinds of other ways of ingesting it, and then that's what you're seeing out of 215, where there's all different kinds of edibles that are being made for cancer patients, people that have trouble, that could not smoke it. There's other ways of ingesting the marijuana.
That is so bizarre. That will have green tea
with
cannabis?
Yeah.
And without?
You could. I mean, there's many ways of of still using that product. So, yeah, marijuana soaps, you know, yeah. I will say this, you know, the thing that I think we're really missing here is I think the United States is missing a grand opportunity to get ahead of our textile issues, paper issues, and we should be growing, you know, industrial hemp. There should be a push to regulate and to farm industrial hemp. And if you want to talk about trees being cut down and clothing and, you know, papers being made, you know, hemp has been a long time supplier of those things. Ropes, you know, some of the best ropes made in the world are made out of hemp. So I think we're missing the boat on industrial hemp. But there's
is that the same?
No, it's a different strain of cannabis, but it doesn't have the hallucinogenic or the compound, the high THC compound that sativa would have, that type of strain of marijuana.
KINS, you're becoming an expert. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, with all the different things that are going on, the realignment issue, we heard from Eureka's Merle Harpham on Monday, probably as agitated as I've heard him talk about frustrations. I mean, it goes back to when we all had, well, Merle still has his hair, but when you and I had hair, and we started building this jail. And it was going from, what, 220 to 400, and that was going to be enough. And, oh, my, we'll never fill it. Ha, 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 and it'll be a profit center, and we'll be a regional. Boy, that one went out the window pretty quick.
Pretty quick. Yeah, you know, we, you know, our rated capacity is 391. Soon to be, about 420, because we're adding additional beds.
A couple offices.
But from the Corrections Community Partnership, which is now a collaborative within the county for the AB 109, the jail realignment. So we have a collaborative. We work together. There's monies that come back to the county for the jail realignment. So through that, we've been able to get funds to increase our bed space. So we're double bunking in some of our single cells to give us more capability of housing more individuals. Which is going to help us in the long run, because right now, like I said, our rated capacity is about 391. Certain times of the year, we'll be well over 400, and we fight to get those population rates down. A jail matrix system has gone back into reinforced through the judges and through district attorney's office. So we have a matrix system now, which gives us guidelines as to who we can and cannot release. At certain times, based upon the severity of the offense and how much time they have to serve or what they're sentenced to. So that helps us alleviate some of that pressure. But that has to be a buy-in process by all the stakeholders so that we can set up these guidelines and release people when and if we have to. Not every one of them is desirable to be doing that. You know, I mean, we ensure as best we can that these people are being monitored through probation or parole or however that's being done. But there are people that fit into the criteria for this matrix system that do get released.
So as you look at the future of what's going on, whether it's with the drug culture that now is Humboldt County or in Mendocino County also, or some of the shenanigans that are occurring at the state, why still wear a badge?
Well, you know, I still believe in what I'm doing. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing. I think I have a vision for what I'm doing. I still have some years that I want to keep doing this. And I think you'll find that with many of the deputies that work for me. It's a career path that we've chosen. We like serving our communities. I've been doing it for 27 years now, and I plan on doing it for a few more. So I think there's enough personal payback to keep doing what we're doing. Are there struggles now that I've never seen before? You bet there are. We have so many mandates and things we have to deal with nowadays. It sometimes verges on being very ridiculous, but you know, it is what it is.
So as you're looking at it, is there a way? And I know this is probably not the question to ask with 30 minute and a half to go, but is it salvageable?
Our criminal justice,
our area, our culture.
Sure, sure.
Law enforcement abiding by the laws, all that. Is it salvageable? I mean, you look at the last 10 years and what's happened.
I think so. I'll say that this way. I see more and more people being frustrated with where we've come to, and they see some value in where we have been before. So I see people more and more wanting to return to a simpler life and a life where things were much more manageable. And I think it is salvageable. I think that we can work through this thing together and work it out and get back to a Humboldt County that everyone is truly proud to be from, because there are some that tell me they're not.
Oh yeah, when the first thing that they ask is whether or not you're selling.
Yeah,
that's, you know, it's not about redwood trees anymore, and it's not about earthquakes mm-hmm. anymore, and it's not about the ocean anymore.
Right.
It's about the weed.
Right, yeah.
So you think it's salvageable, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, time will tell.
Yeah?
And we'll be probably both here to see it happen, too.
Probably so.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Mike.
You bet.
We've been talking shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.